I should be fired from this job, right? So we'll do a mute all, and participants will not have the ability to unmute themselves. However, Alan and Bridget, as co-hosts, you should be able to unmute yourself without any difficulty. Bridget, do you want to unmute yourself? Or I can, there we go. Okay, over to you folks.
Sorry, I'm still setting up here.
Okay, well, I'm up first anyway, so I'll make a start. So we're going to talk about blogs and websites, and we're in a lockdown period, so now it's a really good time for everybody to learn something new. So if you don't know about blogs or websites, maybe this will be a time to do that, and as you'll find out, it doesn't have to cost you anything. You can do everything completely for free. So blogs and websites. I mean, everybody's familiar with websites. You have lots of pages. They have hyperlinks that jump between them. You have text all over the place and graphics here and there. And blogs are a little bit different. They're still a web page, but they generally have posts, individual posts, that are listed chronologically with the most recent first. And they all the posts have kind of the same format. So they're like diary entries, if you like, running along as you add to your blog. And both, because they're web pages, both can include images and videos and sound files. And you can have things like lists and tables. Blogs are a little bit special in that they have a lot of widgets, and widgets can do all kinds of different things, and we'll take a look at that as we go along. So I have an example of a website. Everybody's seen websites, but this one has text, and it has links, and it has graphics, and it has columns of text. It has a title bar, and it has a menu bar, so you've got links to go to different pages in different ways. Everybody's familiar with that. Here's an example of a blog. And if you look carefully at the main window here, you can see that there are various items, testing development versions of LibreOffice that was posted in June, and changing icons in Android Pie was posted in May. And on the right-hand side, there are some of those widgets that we'll get to later on. So Bridget and I are both going to talk about WordPress. Why WordPress? Well, mainly because WordPress has free options for developing either blogs or websites, or both, if you wish. It's quite a nice system for non-coders, non-HTML people, because it uses a GUI, a graphical user interface. And so you don't actually have to use any HTML, but it does have the facility to add HTML code here and there if you wish to do so. And the other really good thing about it is it's a very popular platform. So if you have any questions, Mr. Google will find you help in websites and video tutorials on YouTube and all that kind of thing. So typically, you're not going to get stuck by using WordPress. And you notice I've given the link there to WordPress.com. And I'll just say a word that there are two versions of WordPress. WordPress.com gives you the option of building your website on that platform. There are free options, there are paid options, but that's where you get the free option. You may also come across WordPress.org, O-R-G. That is a user-hosted system. So you typically subscribe to a web server, a hosting service. You would download WordPress.org, or the hosting service already does that for you. And you basically pay to have some kind of web service, web hosting account. And you can use the WordPress.org, which it turns out is very similar to WordPress.com. But we're going to concentrate on WordPress.com. I'm going to talk about the how-tos. How do you do things? And I'm going to focus on building a blog, because And Bridget's going to be talking about how to develop and maintain web pages. But I'll point out that the process for creating a blog or for creating a website is basically exactly the same. So everything I say is going to be a how to do blog or how to do website. And we're going to create this OPCUG blog because that doesn't exist, right? There's no such animal. So we need to navigate our browser to WordPress.com, and then we can hit that big purple button there which says start your blog. And now we get into the hard bit. Now we have to give our blog a name, or actually our domain name. So here's where you have to think of a name that you want your blog to be, which will be essentially a URL, an address, a web address for your blog or your website. But the trick is it has to be unique. So don't think that you're going to call it like Alan's Pictures or something like that, because 10 to 1, Alan's Pictures already exists somewhere else. So you have to find a name that is unique. So let's type in OPCUG blog. Highly unlikely anybody has already taken that. And sure enough, WordPress doesn't complain that that already exists. And it gives you all kinds of shiny pictures here. There's purple highlighting and there's blue highlighting. And if you look carefully there, it says that opcud.blog is free. Registration is free, but it renews at almost $30 a year. And if you want opcugblog.ca on the right, well, that's also free, but it renews at $20 a year. So the things that they typically offer you are not the things that you want to go with. So look a bit further down the page, and you'll find that your domain can be called opcugblog.wordpress.com, and that is the free option. So we want free because we're only trying this thing out, right? We don't know whether we want to be a blogger yet or have our own website. So let's try developing things for free. So we'll hit the select button, and now it says we could pay $5 or $10 or $59. But again, look around the page, and if you look carefully, you'll find start with a free website in the highlight. So let's click on that one and ignore all the pleas for money. Got to remember, WordPress is a commercial organization. Somebody has to pay for all their web servers, we're hanging on by their coattails using the free option. So now we enter the main site development system. It says our site's been created. Well, the bare bones of the site have been created. There's nothing actually on the web that we can look at yet. But basically, we've got a wizard here that will allow us to get started. And now it goes through a series of options, and the first thing we want to do is name the website. So let's choose that button. And we're going to call our website, our blog, in fact, Ottawa PC Users Group Blog. And then it's kind of happy. It says, oh, you've updated the title. That's wonderful. Are you ready to continue? And we say, sure. And then it reminds us that, well, every time you change something on the page, you need to save those changes. So let's save those settings. And now it says, well, you've done a great job. We've got a blog and given it a name. And now we can go back to the wizard. So now the second item on the wizard is to create a menu. So let's add a menu. And we're only interested in having a primary menu, so we'll choose primary menu. And the primary menu options there in the red box you'll see are home and blog and about and contact. And if you look at that, you can also have the plus sign there to add items. So you could add menu items if you wish. But those items you recognize are the menu items which are in the top right-hand corner of the screen. So by default, those are the menu items that we get. And we're going to go with the default just to see what happens. And as we go along, anything that we do, we can always change later on. So we're not we're not locked into just these menu options. So now we've got back here and we're ready, we can have a look at the home page. So let's see how far we've got. And the home page basically looks like this. And you probably recognize that that doesn't look anything like a blog. It looks a lot more like a home page of a website. So let's change the layout. And when we change the layout, then we get a whole raft of different themes that we can choose. All kinds of different home pages there on the left. And if we scroll down that list, then we'll find some blog page layouts, some layouts which are much more appropriate, if you like, for blogs rather than websites. And we'll find one there that we looks as though we kind of like. It's got posts down the center and some kind of column on the right we can do about me and stuff like that. So let's use that blog layout and see what happens. So our blog is going to look something like this. So let's preview what that's actually going to look like on the web. Remember, we haven't posted anything to the web yet. We're just still in the development stages. So it's basically going to look like this, using that theme. So let's visit the website. There's the pseudo website. And it basically, it still looks a lot like a web page rather than a blog. So let's choose edit, because there are a number of things I don't like here. I don't like Ottawa PC Users Group blog, actually, because I've also got a menu item called blog, and my thing is called OPCUG blog, and I want to add an icon, a logo. So I'm going to have way too many blogs, if you like. So let's get rid of some of those. So we'll edit the home page, and the first thing we can do is change the title here by hitting this edit button. And when we do that, it brings up this drop-down menu here, and we can change the site title. This is essentially what we had initially in the wizard. So let's change that. Oops. What did I do? Oops, sorry. Slight pause here while Alan sorts himself out. Sorry, I've lost the page. Slideshow. How's that? We should be back.
That's good, yep.
Okay, so we were going to edit that, and I said this is the same thing we had in the wizard. So we're going to change that. We'll get rid of blog, and we'll just call it Ottawa PC User Group. And now this time we'll add a tagline, and we'll put in our users helping users motto. And while we're here, we'll also add a logo to the page. So let's select the logo. And that will take us to the media library. And right now we've got a couple of images which are predefined by WordPress. Neither of them we like. So let's go to upload files and add our own image to that library. So now we need to select a file from the hard drive. We'll navigate to some folder that's got some images, and we'll choose this logo here, which I developed in a word processor. We'll add some alternate text. If anybody's used HTML, you'll recognize that as an alt equals type parameter. And then the next thing that happens is we can select that image. Now we get the option to crop it. And normally you'd think of having a big image that you want to make smaller. But in actual fact, you can also expand the boundaries here so that we get the full width of the image. And then we can crop the image to that, crop it to full size, in other words. And we can use that. And again, if we're happy, we can save the changes. So what we're going to do now is we're going to save the changes, but we're also going to go and edit that menu on the right-hand side, and we're going to eliminate that blog entry. And we do that just the same way we did in the wizard. We just remove that entry. So now we've still got a thing which looks like a website. And what I hadn't noticed at the time was that the title of the blog has suddenly become the alternate text that I added for the image. So I've lost the Ottawa PC Users Group blog, or Ottawa PC Users Group, and now it just says OPCUG blog in black. But remember, we can always change things. So it turns out I figured that out later on, and we'll fix that later on. So for now, let's just have a look how our homepage is shaping up. It still looks a lot like a web page, and the reason for that is because the homepage is set to be a static page, which would be a web page. And we want it to display posts, so we want it to display your latest posts. So let's choose that radio button. And now our view changes, and now it looks a bit more like a blog. So let's save those changes, and let's visit the site and see what it looks like now. And so now we've got our logos in place, we've got our menu, and we've got some posts, or some sample posts anyway. So now, before we launch the site, it wants us now, it thinks we're done, or close enough. So before we launch the site, let's change the content and add some real content at our first blog post, as it were. So let's go to posts, and here are the three sample posts which WordPress has given us. We're going to choose add a new post. And when we do that, it will bring up an editor. And Bridget later on is going to talk about a plugin editor for some types of sites called Elementor. Well, this is just the regular editor that WordPress uses. And you can see basically you type in a title, you type in some text, and you have a couple of different what they call blocks. So let's add a title, and we'll use this cost for domain names, and we'll put some text in there. And you notice that we've got some fancy links there, or icons. We can boldface things and so forth. We're not going to bother with that right now. We'll do that later on. So let's hit this publish button and see what happens. And it says, are you ready to publish? And, well, yes, we are. We're done with that page for now. We could come back to it later if we want. So now it says the post is published. And now we can go back to our main dashboard, they call it, main website development system. Now you can see at the top of the list there, I've got my cost for domain names post added. But I still got these three introduce yourself posts, which they added and I don't want anymore. So let's hit these three dots, and that will drop down this menu, and we can tell it, well, let's just send this example post to the trash. And now we've got rid of one of them, two to go, so we can get rid of the other two exactly the same way. Now we've just got our one post, and we can exit to the home page by clicking on My Home. Now let's just take a look at the site before we actually launch the thing. And so basically we've got our logo, we've got our post, we've got our menu. So let's launch the site at this point. It's close enough, we think. And remember, we can always change things later on. So we'll launch the site. So of course, first thing they want to do is sell you something. So they're still trying to push those different domain names that you have to pay for. And we have to look around and find where it says skip the purchase, and we'll stick with our opcugblog.wordpress.com domain. And they still want to sell us a $5 or $10 a month option. But again, we can look around and we can continue with our free site. We're not going to pay until we're absolutely sure that's what we want to do. So last, we've entered some information. We've launched our website, and bingo. Now we can actually go and view the site as it happens on the internet. And that's fine, but it's kind of a little bit boring. So I think I still want to change the theme. Remember I said you can always change things? I chose that theme early on, but it's really not the one I like. So let's go down here to the dashboard and scroll down a little bit and find themes. And when we do that, we can, they'll offer a few up, but we can also look at all the themes they have to offer by clicking on this Show All Themes button. And again, there's a whole bunch of premium, i.e. themes that you have to pay for. So let's restrict it by filtering on just the free themes, because we don't want to spend any money, right? We're cheapskates. So let's scroll down the offerings and find, try various ones out, see what they look like. And eventually we'll pick something that's pretty simple that I think works well for what we want. It's called Pen Scratch. So let's choose to activate this design. You notice this one is a free design. And now we can customize our site. And it basically looks like this at the moment. And now I've lost my logo. And this is also, because the logo went away, I suddenly realized that the blog title was OPCU blog and not Ottawa PC Users Group. So on the left-hand side there, we can still change the site identity and fonts and all that kind of stuff. So let's go and change in the site identity. We can add back in our Ottawa PC Users Group, Users Helping Users, add the logo again, and this time, the blog looks a lot more like we're interested in. So we can bail out of there, look at the site as it now appears on the web, because remember we have launched the site now, so we're editing the site essentially in real time, or the blog in real time. So we've got our logo, we've got our title, we've got our menu, and we've got our posts. So now we can add some more content. So let's go back into the editor, and you remember I said that there were all those special effects. So, for example, you could highlight some text at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, and you could hit the B key, and that will make that boldface. And then you could highlight that opcud.ca link, and we can hit the link tool, and that will pop up a menu, a dialog box. And we can link the text to an actual URL, and we can say, add the link. So now on our page, we have an actual link to one of the club's web pages. We could add a graphic to this page. So we use the add button, which drops down this menu. We choose media library, which, if you remember, will take us to this screen, and we've already got a Don't Forget logo there, a little yellow sticky type thing. So let's choose that graphic, and we'll drop that onto the page. Page doesn't look very exciting right now. So let's highlight the graphic, and now we've got a whole bunch of options. We can use the plus and minus sign to make it bigger or smaller. We can use these buttons to move the graphic to the center, to the right, to the left, whatever we want. Let's choose moving it to the right. And now we've got the image over on the right. The text looks a bit lonely, so let's just type in some more text into our editor. Now that looks pretty good. So we'll update. And now you'll find that we have a second posting. And this is a newer posting, so it's come to the top, and our cost for domain names has gone down to the bottom. And I suppose everybody realized that I didn't update the date for Canada Day from June 17th, wherever I stole that text from. That should have been July the 1st. But never mind, that was just, it's all fixable in the editor later on. So going back to my my example blog, this is my Linux North Linux maintenance blog. Now you see I've got the same kind of post on the left-hand side, but on the right-hand side, I've got some widgets. And one of the widgets is recent posts, so you can see a list of posts on various topics which I've added at various times. And then there's an email subscription widget, and there's also a search box, which is another widget. So you can search the website for any word or phrase. The way you add those is from this dashboard, from the dashboard. And if you look on the left-hand side there, you'll see a bunch of tools, and you can choose the appearance tool, and that will drop down and give you access to things like themes and, in our case, widgets. And if you scroll down through the widgets, you've got widgets for Eventbrite and Facebook and Flickr. And you've also got one called Follow Blog. And what this does is it pops up this widget on the right-hand side here, which tells people if they enter their email address in this box and then subscribe to the blog by clicking on the button, then anytime I post something new to this blog, they will receive an email with that information. And sure enough, this is the kind of thing that you get. If you had subscribed to my blog when I posted this thing, you would have got an email telling you that I had information on a user manual for LibreOffice macros. And if you scroll further down, you'll find that I also tell you that you can learn Spanish and French by using Babbel. And you remember that we chose the free WordPress.com option. And that is an ad-supported option. So I have no control over the ads that are posted on the on these blog postings. That's basically done by WordPress. And of course, any time you can upgrade your plan with WordPress. And if you pay for a plan, then you can get rid of these adverts. The other thing that's very useful is to allow users to comment on your postings, because they can say they like it or they don't like it, but they can also say, what do you mean by this, or how do I do that? They can ask questions, and then you as a respondent can answer those questions. But rather than just let anybody type anything as a comment on your blog, I suggest two things. First thing is, go to the settings and click on this box. Before a comment appears, the comment must be manually approved. So in other words, I have to approve any comment that any user tries to add to my blog. And so that basically means I can keep out all the rubbish. There is a spam filter built in, which gets rid of most of the stuff, but some of them still get through, and I can manually weed those out. The other thing I quite like is, says trying to find the right button, that the comment author has to add their name and an email address. This doesn't really stop people from trying to put spam on your website, but at least you know who they are. And if people do ask questions, then you can actually get in touch with them directly if necessary. Okay, so let's just say a couple of words about building a website. And I said it's essentially the same as building the blog. And if you remember, when we started off in that wizard, it was really building a web page. And I had to tell it, no, I want it to display posts. So if you choose to do a website, instead of adding posts to your WordPress entry, you add pages. And so on the dashboard, you'd see something like this. You'd choose pages, and then it would go into an editor, And here's an example. This is a web page that I developed for a friend of mine. We talked a while ago about event data recorders, crash recorders in vehicles. And my buddy wants to get into the business of being a consulting expert. So here's a website. It has a title, the ADR Experts in Blue, with a little Canadian flag icon. That's actually a graphic. There's a menu along the top there, home and personnel and so forth. And then there are columns with headings, analysis, training. It's got graphics. It's got text. And if you look carefully at the training, you might recognize that as being an OPCUG meeting at the Aviation Space Museum a few years ago. So I borrowed that for purposes of development. And these things are all blocks. So you've got a menu type block and a graphics block and a text block. And when you hit the editor, then you can drop down this link of this array of different modules, and you can add images and slideshows and all kinds of weird and wonderful things. And this is along the lines of the Elementor plugin, which Bridget is going to develop. And so now it's time to hand over for something that's not so completely different. It's time for Bridget to take the helm.
So before I start, Alan, Corinne was asking if WordPress is available in other languages, if you can use it in different languages to set up your blog.
I'm sure you can. I'll check on that.
Okay. And I guess I'll share. Are we going to take questions before I share my screen?
No. Go ahead. Okay.
I don't think that there's been any questions that haven't been answered in the chat. While Bridget is setting up, I'll just mention a couple of them. So when was WordPress started? It was in 2003. And Corinne asks, when looking for your blog, where does it appear in your search results? I would suggest that at least at the start, by far the easiest way to get to a blog will be asking the person who runs the blog for the URL to it. Eventually, general Google search will probably turn it up, but it could take a long time before it gets popular enough that search terms that you search for that happen to be in that blog actually turn up in the results.
Yeah, I think if you search for Linux North, it gives you some Korean websites.
Okay,
that's it for questions, I think, for now.
Are we ready for Elementor?
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to take it, and basically what I'm going to do is just show you what I do as webmaster for the OPCUG. You're going to recognize a lot of the web pages I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you snippets from our website, and let's just see if I can... Oh, okay. All right, so everybody can see my screen?
Yes?
Okay. So Elementor is a WordPress plugin. And what is a plugin, you ask? A plugin, you know the saying, there's an app for that? Well, there is probably a plugin for that because there are thousands of plugins for WordPress. I just had a look at the popular plugins in WordPress, and there were is it 500,000 plugins? I'm not sure. I'd have to look at that again. But there are thousands and thousands of 150,000 plugins for WordPress, and they can do all kinds of things. We use several of them for the OPCUG website. Elementor basically is a WYSIWYG editor. And what WYSIWYG is what you see, it stands for what you see is what you get. And it eliminates the need to type HTML code. So you can have absolutely no knowledge of HTML And because of Elementor's drop and drag feature, you could create pages without any knowledge of HTML. There have been WYSIWYG editors around for more than 20 years. I think FrontPage came out in 1996. I used FrontPage Express when I was when I first took on Webmaster for the OPC UG back in 2000. I was using FrontPage Express, and then that started giving me problems, and then Alan suggested I use Composer. And Composer is also a WYSIWYG editor, and it also you can also edit in HTML. Either by hand, you can type your HTML by hand if you like, or you can use predefined tags. And Elementor also, you should know, can be used to create a blog page. So it's not just for websites, it's for blog pages. I'm not going to read all this here on the right. This is what I, this is a screenshot from a web page. And this will all be posted. I will post my presentation on the website tomorrow. And you can all read this. It tells you what Elementor is. And here's a write-up on Elementor. And it is the most popular web builder, website builder out there because it's so easy to use. And these are the widgets right here, or elements. They call them elements, and I guess that's where Elementor gets its name. And probably also from Sherlock Holmes, you know, it's elementary, my dear Watson, meaning it's easy. It's easy to understand, and it's easy to use. Elementor is very easy to use. When I first attempted to design a new website, to redesign the OPCUG website a couple of years ago in 2018, I tried to design it with what was the WordPress basic editor back then, and I was pulling my hair out. I gave it two good attempts in the spring and the summer, and I just couldn't understand it. And then when Rebel showed me this last year, it really was easy to learn. It really was intuitive. Now, as for the pricing, Elementor free plugin is only free, or it's only available. This is a bit murky. This is where I don't quite understand. The plugin is only available with the WordPress.org platform, not the .com. The WordPress.org is just it allows for more freedom. So if you download the WordPress.org software and to create your website, you will be able to download all the plugins you want. It's free. It has 40 plus basic widgets. It says 40 plus here, but if you scroll down the page, on the same page, if you scroll down, you'll see that they say 30 basic widgets. So I think it's more like 30 basic widgets, and this I think is a typo here. So the free has 30 basic widgets. Now you see here that the Pro, Elementor Pro, has an awful lot more features, but this is more for people who have a more, let's say, a commercial website. They want to sell a product that they make, and they need a shopping cart, and they need the ability for their customers to pay via PayPal or Visa. For most people, the Elementor free, and this is what we use with the OPCUG website, the Elementor, the free one, will do everything you need it to do. And this here, just to differentiate between WordPress.org and WordPress.com, Alan was showing you WordPress.com for his blog. Rebel, our website is WordPress, is on the WordPress.org platform. And I'll just read a couple of lines here. The WordPress.com does not offer you the freedom to modify your source code or upload your own plugins or extend the features. So I'll let you read this on your own. They always recommend that people use WordPress.org. The average person, WordPress.org will be sufficient. So if you want more, down here at the bottom of the slide. So if you want more control over your website, go to WordPress.org and create your free account. Now, because it's free and you will have to find a host to serve your website to the world. So Bluehost is one. The old OPCUG website was hosted by Tuni. Tuni is a hosting company, a Canadian one. And as the name implies, the cheapest package starts at $2 a month. So they also support WordPress.org websites. So you just have to install the WordPress software on the Tuni server, on your account on the Tuni server, and the software is right there on the server, on the Tuni hosting company, and you just install it, and then you migrate, you upload your website to that. If you want WordPress.com, if you don't want to do that, someone manage your website for a fee. And if you go to WordPress.com, create website, I think you'll see that the cheapest one starts at $5 a month. And like Alan says, you start out free. You can start out with the free site. With websites, I don't know if you can keep it free with the .wordpress.com. Alan, you can correct me on this. I don't know if it's free forever. If you use, like, if you call it bridget.lord.wordpress.com. Alan, are you there?
Yes. Yeah, once you've chosen, like, linuxnorth.wordpress.com, I've had that for 6 years.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's certainly a way to go. Now, once you've created your WordPress account, you will have to log into it in order to have access to the WordPress dashboard, which is where you do all your work. So there's the WordPress dashboard for the OPCUG website. And it looks, Alan showed you, you probably recognize this from Alan's blog. So there's the dashboard here. And then from there, you can look at your posts. In our case, we don't have posts. There's the media library. We have our pages. These are the plugins here. And I think all of these are free. I think Rebel installed mainly free plugins for us. And I just circled here three that we tried and didn't work. So they're not activated, and I'm free to delete them. Now, if you go to plugins, add new, you will see that they have featured plugins here. So that's the first thing you see are the featured plugins. And there's a whole bunch of those. And the ones that are compatible with your version of WordPress, because when you install WordPress, you're installing a version, and it will be updated as you go along over the years and months and years. And the ones that are compatible with your version of WordPress will be marked as such. So compatible with your version of WordPress. And you can also search for a plugin. Let's say you want a plugin that counts the number of visitors on your website. You can look for a counter. Visitor counter. There are plugins for everything. Just like there's an app for everything, there's plugins for everything. Now, these are some of the pages on our website, on the OPCUG website. Now, you can edit from the dashboard. You have two choices to edit. You can click Edit with Elementor, which is recommended in this case because all our pages were created in Elementor, and edit. So the next page, if you just click edit from the previous slide, you are again given a choice of either edit with Elementor or edit with the basic WordPress editor. Now, this is the wrong choice. If you created your web page in a plugin such as Elementor, you really would rather, this is what you want to click right here, edit with Elementor, because you get a warning. If you click this by mistake, you will get a warning, and the WordPress default editor can break your page. And it did in my case, so don't do it. Always choose edit with Elementor or whatever your plugin is. Now, this is another way of editing You don't have to edit from the dashboard. You can just load the page you want to edit in your browser. And as long as you're logged into WordPress already, you'll get the edit strip, the black edit strip here. And again, you have two choices, edit page or edit with Elementor. And we all know which one to choose at this point, edit with Elementor. And this is what the OPCU page homepage looks like loaded in Elementor. And this here is the Elementor dashboard. So earlier we saw the WordPress dashboard. This is the Elementor dashboard. And this is where you see all the widgets, all the elements that you can choose from. Now, all of these here are basic, the ones on the left. These are all basic widgets that are free to use with Elementor. Just below that, and over here, which I've expanded here, these are all, or sorry, right here, the pro. These are the pro ones that are locked. These are not, they all have a lock, and they are not available for us to use. These are for the pro. This is if you've paid for the Elementor Pro. More widgets below the pro, and these are called general. So if you collapse the pro widgets, you get the general widgets, which are free as well. So altogether, you have about 30. I think I counted 32 just because we have three plugins. So there's 29 widgets, Elementor widgets that are free. And so these are free. And these here, if you go even further down under the beneath the general, you get WordPress widgets as well, which are all free. And a lot of this are a lot of these are duplicates of the Elementor widgets. And I don't know what they look like. They're probably a bit different. The workspace they create on the page are probably a little different than the ones for Elementor. I haven't used any of them. And just to touch on the Elementor default editor, in December 2018, they improved their default WIMP editor with the Gutenberg editor. Now, this is a big this was a big improvement over what I used 2 years ago when I tried to create redesign our OPCUG website. They didn't have these blocks, and these blocks are if you click here, add new block in this circle, you get this down here. You get all these blocks, and these are it's similar to what we just saw in Elementor, all these tiles and elements that we saw in Elementor. It's not as pretty, but it's still functional, and they have a lot more. They have an awful lot of free widgets. And I've never used these because I'm afraid of breaking the pages on our OPCUG website. But these are all widgets that Elementor has. They might even have a few more that Elementor doesn't have for free. So this was a big improvement in December 2018. Now, if another place where you can modify your site, and it's not in Elementor, it's in WordPress Customize. And Alan showed you a little bit of this. In Customize, this is where you change the general settings of your website, the general function of your website. You can change the typography, the website colors, and you can change the all the pages that are in your primary menu, all the links in your primary menu, all the links in your footer menus, and these will be reflected across all your web pages. So you make the change here in one place, and it will be reflected on all your web pages. So it's very convenient. So here's the primary menu here. And this was created and customized. So you cannot, this is Elementor here, but you cannot actually alter the primary menu or the footer menu in Elementor. And here's the footer menu. And again, you can't, even though they load in Elementor, you don't have access to them. Now the banner, this is our reviews webpage, and this is the banner here, the blue. If you want to see all the sections on a page in Elementor, like if you want to see all the different sections, just hover your mouse over the page and they will all reveal themselves. So this is a section here with the blue tab. So this is the banner section. And within the banner section, we have a text box. And we also have spacers. So it's the text box here, if you click here on the six dots, there's a plus sign here, six dots in the middle of the blue tab, and then an X. If you click on the six dots, you're brought to the background. It opens up the widget in the Elementor dashboard, and you're brought to the background widget. And this is where you choose your picture for the banner. So if you click on Choose Picture, then you will be brought to the media library to choose your picture. The plus sign here just adds another section above the existing section. The existing section moves down, and then you have another brand new section on top. And then the X here will delete a section. And if you do that, and if it was a mistake, Elementor is really nifty. It has a time machine. So if you want to undo something, if you want to undo a mistake, Elementor has a very powerful time machine. And this is it right here. And if the first thing I ever do is press Control Z on my keyboard, and that usually works. But if it doesn't, you just have to click the history icon at the bottom, circled here at the bottom, the history icon, and this is what it loads above. And these are all the changes you made on that page, in that particular session. So if you close Elementor and you come back, these will disappear. But while you're working, it will keep track of all your changes. In this case, I only made three changes. So what I did for this example is I deleted an inner section. This is where the editing starts. It's listed chronologically from the bottom up. So this is where the editing started. Then I deleted an inner section, and then I deleted two sections. So if I wanted to restore any of these sections, I just have to click anywhere here or click back to the beginning before I made any changes. This is in the actions. If you click on revisions up in the 1 o'clock position above the big circle in revisions, you can go back 11 months. You can go back to revisions that were made 11 months ago. And that's available anytime. Anytime you close Elementor, open it back up again. This is not dependent on whether you've closed the session or not. This, on the OPC UG website, I can go back 11 months. So it's amazing. WordPress also has the ability to undo changes. It's a bit clunkier. Slide 15 above earlier, I was showing you the block editor in WordPress. If you go back to that slide, if you go under the icon that's marked move to trash, there's something under trash called three revisions. And if you click on that, it brings you to a page with a linear timeline. And on this timeline, you just click anywhere here. In this particular case, there were three revisions. So if I can click on the right-hand side, the middle, or the left, and when you click anywhere on this timeline, it will load the change you made in HTML. So I don't know. It's not very pretty. It works. If you just have to copy text, that's fine because the text will be easy enough to copy from the HTML. But you won't know what the page what it looked like before you made your change just by looking at that HTML code, unless you know HTML. So it's not as powerful, not as pretty as Elementor's time machine. Editing the page title, in this case, it's called Reviews. And if you click on this pencil here in the red circle, Edit Heading. So if you click there, it opens the Edit Heading widget. And in here, you can type your reviews in the box here, the text box here, or you can type right on the page. Now, there's a text box down here, and again, if you click on the pencil icon, and it will open the widget for the text editor. This was a heading up here. Reviews was in a heading widget, and this is a text box widget. So there's a number of widgets. Even though they're both text, one is heading a heading widget, and that means that the font is in caps, is in capitals. You can change that, but mostly it's in caps, as a heading should be. And the text editor, you can type in a combination of capital letters and lower caps, lowercase. Now the reviews have sections within sections. So there's sections within sections. And this is very similar to cells, rows, and columns within tables in conventional HTML. Here we have a column outlined in red, and that's like a table. It goes to the bottom of the page. And then we have a row outlined in green. And these are all sections. So this section is a row. And then we also have cells. So these are just other sections. So everything's called a section in Elementor. If you want to add a new section to a page, this is where you do it. On the page, whether it's a brand new page or whether you already have existing sections, on a page you will always have, this will stay on the page as long as you're in Elementor. You will be able to add a new section or just drag a widget. You just grab a widget, click on it, and drag it to this. A widget of your choice. It could be a text box, an image box, a video box. If you click on the plus, add new section, then you're given a choice of the structure. You can have a section with a single column. You can have two columns. You can go up to several columns. So for this example, we'll just click on two columns. And then this is what loads above the section. You get this above this box. You get the two columns. You get a section with two columns. And the plus signs tell you that you can drag a widget into each of these columns. And you can have a slideshow for a home page, something that can be a little bit more interesting on your home page. You can have a slideshow, and that's what we have on our OPCUG homepage. We have a slideshow. And these are the five pictures that I chose from our media library for our slideshow. And for if anybody wonders how we list our events, our upcoming events, Q&A, and our monthly meetings, we do it from a free plugin. So this is another plugin. This is a modern. This is called the Modern Events Calendar plugin. And this is a plugin that I cannot control from Elementor. I have to go to the dashboard for this. So even though I can control the type of calendar, I can select a list or a grid or any full calendar monthly, this is all I can do. This is all I can do from Elementor is the type of calendar. And we have the grid, so this is what the grid looks like. And what's nice about an automated calendar is that it has the ability, we have the ability to share. So anybody can click on this and share this event on Facebook or Twitter. And we also have a view detail. So this is a link that leads you to the event page with a description of the event. And this is where I add events to our calendar. There's all events. We can, to add an event, you would click on event here. In this case, we're in the section called all events. And these are all the events at the time when I created this presentation. So these at that time we had computers at war. This was back in November, and Bob Walker was giving a presentation on computers at war. And so this is how it was created. I chose add event, and I added a title, computers at war, and then a description, and then I added a featured image. I had uploaded an image of the Colossus computer, and I added that. And then I had to set the date and time of the event, and then the link. The link that goes behind the join meeting is created right here. So this is the link time URL OPC EG meeting, and this is the text on the button, and then we click publish. And this is what it looks like. The bottom of the page has been cropped out, but this is what the event, and you've all seen this. This is what the event looks like, the event page. So what time is it? 8:30. So I'll go quickly. We'll just go quickly through how to create. We'll just recreate the reviews web page that I just showed you. So we'll have a banner image, some text, some pictures, columns, the primary menu, footer menu. So we have to add a new page. And you can add a new page from Add New here, or if you're in the if you're in All Pages, you can add a new page from here. And then you will be brought to a familiar page, and this is where it looks familiar. It's like, oh no, I'm going to break my web page. It's a new page. You're just adding the title, so fear not. Just click the name of your title, the title of your page, and click on Edit with Elementor. I gave it the OPCEG, I gave it a title of OPCEG Reviews, and then I clicked on Elementor. And then the footer and primary menu already are there because I'm using the OPCEG website in this demonstration, and the menus are already there. At this stage, if you don't have any web pages, you don't have a primary menu or a footer menu. So you would just have a blank page with this. And this is where you would drag a widget or add a new section. And you can save your changes. You don't have to publish. You don't want to publish until your page is pretty well complete. And publish doesn't mean it's available for everybody to see yet. As long as you don't have a link to it from a home page, let's say, nobody can see that until you have a link to it. But you can save it as you go by clicking on, there's a little arrow beside publish down at the bottom here. And there's a little arrow, you just click on it and save draft. See what the page looked like before publishing it. You just go down beside the publish button again, beside the green publish button. There's a preview changes button, and it's an eyeball. You just click on it, and your page will load in another tab in your browser, and you will get to see your web page before you publish it. To add a banner section, we don't want any columns. For the OPCUG, it takes up the width of the page. The banner takes up the width of the page, and that's what we choose, and here it is. The width of right now it's not the width of the page, but it will be later on. And you click on the six little dots in the middle of the blue tab, and then you're brought to the background widget. And there you can choose your picture. If you choose a classic background, if you hover over all these things, it tells you what you're clicking on. The background type, you want to choose classic. And then this brings up the window to choose the image for your banner. And this brings you to the media library, and this is the picture here. Down here, circled in green, that I chose, and down here I choose insert media, and there it is. Now, it looks kind of weird, but before we go on, we do have to fulfill some parameters, and these are the parameters down here that are circled, that are outlined in green. And you must fill in position, attachment, repeat, and size. So there are many choices for these. So choose what looks best. And then optional is the background overlay, because the picture has a more of a black look to it, black and white with colored icons. The club color, the OPCUG has blue as a club color. So that's what we're going to choose. We're going to choose a background overlay color. Now, here, the section containing our banner image lacks height and does not reveal the picture adequately. So we're going to add spacers and a heading. So the spacers, when you drag spacers to this space, you just click and hold and drag your spacer to this section. And then under that, you're going to add a heading section where you're going to type the title of your page. And under that, you're going to expand this section further with another spacer to reveal the banner image. And then we want to pick the color of the text. So by default, when you type, it types black. The text is in black, but we want white. So you go to the color picker. So under style, it opens up the color window. And then you can type the color. You can type white. You can type blue, green, red, orange. But if you want something more specific, you can type in a hexadecimal, or you can just slide the color slide and then choose, be more precise, and choose a color within the window. Just move move to the color you want with your mouse. And using the ever-present add new section that's present on the page, it's ever-present there. You can add as many sections as you like. We added another text box, and I added another spacer because the text box was too close to the banner, so I wanted a bit of space there. And I added yet another section with two columns. And this is what it looks like. So I've added text to the text box. And here in this other section, this is where the reviews are. So there's two columns in this section, and I added in this column outlined in orange, I added a logo. There's an image widget here. There's a text widget here, so I added text to that, which is the name of the review, the name of the program, the software, and then a brief description with the date. And I added a blue button. So this is another feature. This is another widget, a button widget. And you can add text to that with a link to to whatever. And in this case, it links to the article. And you can control the width of all these sections it's called content width under layout. And in this case, it's 900. This is what Rebel chose, and I left it at such. But I could widen this, and I could have room for three reviews instead of just two reviews per section. I could have three. So you can control that. It could be the width of the entire page, or narrower or wider. And here we come to the menus, and Alan touched on this a little bit. This is where you add your primary menu in Customize. So when you get out of Elementor and you go into WordPress Customize, you can add your primary menu, and from there you can select all your pages that you want in the primary menu. So this here, outlined in red, these are all the pages that are currently linked from our primary menu. You can add more. You can add more from this section here outlined in green. So you just click on add more, add items, and it brings up this menu here, this box here. Then you just add more. And the same with the footer. The footer menu is the same as the primary menu. All the pages that are linked from our footer menu are listed here, and I can add more, and then I can add any number of pages to be linked from the footer menu. Now, just to draw a distinction between the footer menu and the footer menu has links to all the to pages on our website, and the footer in this case is actually just our copyright. And the name of our club with the year of copyright. And this is what the page looks like, finally, once you see your browser. And you can see the banner with the title and the text box and the review. So that's it. So any questions?
We had a few questions that have been answered in the chat, but just for those who have not looked there, Corrine asked if there's a virtual assistant for WordPress or live help, and Alan answered that there's a help section, but it provides static pages on specific topics. Mike said cringe counters use Google Analytics instead for real stats or another stats package provided by the ISP. And we had a question, can you unsubscribe if you subscribe to a blog to get changes? And yes, indeed, every posting that goes out from that goes to your mailbox, once you've subscribed to a blog, it will have a link in that posting that allows you to unsubscribe from that blog. And I think that's all the questions we had. Alan, was there anything else that you noted?
There was a question about the French version, and it looks like there isn't a French version per se of WordPress, but they do allow you to change the language for postings and for the menus and things. So you can basically develop the system in French. But it seems as though they just have a bunch of like language add-ons to the English version, as it were.
Alan, did you have anything else you were going to present? Or what I can do is I could do a mute all with the ability to unmute yourself, and that way anybody could jump in with any questions or comments that they had. But if you have something more to present.
I don't have anything else.
Okay, so I'm going to do a mute all, but I will allow participants to unmute themselves. So both Alan and Bridget, you will have to unmute yourselves as well. So if anybody has any questions or comments and wanted to do it by unmuting and asking it audibly or commenting audibly, by all means, jump in.
Just before we do that, there was a question from Michelle, like, how do you save a web page? She's thinking that we're using a regular HTML editor and we have a page of HTML code which the browser will display as a web page. Well, WordPress doesn't work like that. It's essentially a content management system. And as you've seen, you're using an editor to enter text and headings and tell it about images. And it's storing all this information in a database. And then when the web browser comes along and asks for the page, it serves up an HTML page dynamically. So for you and I, there's really no HTML page that we can save. And what I do is I create my pages in the blog, for example, in a word processor. So I have the title, I have the text, and then I enter this stuff into the WordPress editor, and then I actually do a select all and save the text or it's kind of pseudo code, I guess, from the WordPress editor back into my file. So that retains all the hyperlinks that I've generated to web links and images and that kind of thing. But I don't get a full-blown web page.
Okay, we had a question from Bob. Is there a way to save the entire site on your PC? I think natively, because it is a content management system, no. I think there are some utilities that you can run that will actually walk through an entire website and capture all the pages. Correct me if I'm wrong or anything, if anybody knows more about that.
Yeah, you can certainly do that. For example, if you had a WordPress site, and then you decided that, well, I want to host it myself, so I'm going to go to Tuny Hosting and pay my $2 a month and buy a web hosting service. You can actually go to WordPress and grab the whole site and load it onto Tuny Hosting, and you'll have exactly the same web presence that you had on WordPress originally. But again, it's still buried in a database on Tuny Hosting now.
Yeah. From Corinne, we had a question. Bridget, did you choose the fonts and colors?
No, it was Rebel. The website was designed by Rebel.com, and I basically took over. So the only color that that's really important is the club colors. But for font, Rebel.com designed a few pages for us, and they used white and basically, no, I didn't have much say in the design. I basically just took over, and I designed the rest of the pages on the website based on what they designed for us.
But you could go in and change all of those if you wanted to, right?
Oh, yes, I could.
Yeah. Glenn says, can you import JavaScript and CSS files into WordPress.com, WordPress.org, and or Elementor? So I guess in essence, can you use JavaScript and CSS files if you're using a WordPress site?
The I have JavaScript. There is a widget for short code or HTML. You can insert JavaScript, and I have on our OPCUG website. As for CSS, you have to go to Elementor Pro. WordPress, Alan?
I don't know. I don't use either, so I couldn't tell you.
Okay, we had a question. Can you use Google Drive as a host for WordPress.org? No, you wouldn't be able to do that because Google Drive doesn't present the content management system that is WordPress. Other questions?
Bob Walker here. Is it possible to take an existing website and import it into WordPress and then use WordPress from then on, or do I have to rebuild the website in WordPress?
I think you would have to rebuild it page by page, Bob. I don't think there's an import facility. There might be one of these famous add-ins to do that. I really don't know.
There is a cumbersome way of doing it. There is an HTML widget, and you would have to copy and paste the HTML code behind your web page and paste it. And I don't even know how that would look, but it would be cumbersome if you have a lot of pages.
Mike has put a link in here to www.httrack.com, and I have absolutely no idea what that is. Mike, did you want to chime in on what that link is that you put there?
I think that's a system whereby you can download the website.
Yeah, he said it backs up HTML. So I guess that's something that could grab your page and save a copy locally that way. Freeware to capture a website and save it as HTML, even from a content management system, and save it locally.
Hmm.
So that would be the way to get your content out of the content management system, I guess.
And Micheline's asking if we've ever looked at the HTML generated by the content management system.
Oh, yeah. I can show, yes.
It's complicated and worse than what Word produces.
It's awful.
If you've ever looked at what Word produces, if it's worse than that, then it's not worth having.
Let me show you the source. I'll just do it right here, just a minute. I'll view source. I have to share my screen.
Yeah.
Okay, just a minute. It's awful. Okay, so here's our homepage. Can everybody see it?
Yeah, it's just
gobbledygook.
There it is. I'm seeing it now.
Okay. Yeah. I recognize it's HTML, but it's so complex. It's just not the HTML that I use in Front Page Express or Composer. This stuff is, it just goes on and on forever. It's, I definitely recognize the HTML tags, but there's, it's quite impressive, actually.
Well, at least they're using some form of structured coding, which makes it easier to read.
Because it's funny because that's something I noticed the first time I ever looked at the source code behind one of our pages. It wasn't structured. I don't know what happened, but I was really astounded. I thought, oh my God, there's no structure to this. But when I checked it out while I was creating my presentation, I thought, oh, there's some structure actually, because conventional HTML definitely has a structure to it.
Well, only because you do it, you make it manual. You do that manually.
Yeah, but even Front Page and Composer, there is structure to it. I was using the WYSIWYG components. I was using WYSIWYG, and the structure was there was a structure to it. So.
Is there a limit to the storage space for the free version of WordPress? From Glenn.
Yes, there is, but I forget what it is. You'd have to look it up. I haven't hit it yet after 6 years. So.
And the as far as WordPress.org, you're limited by what package you buy for your hosting. So you could buy a package where you only have 20 megabytes or 200 megabytes or so many gigs of storage space to store, and for your hosting to serve your hosting package will be more expensive depending on how much space you need, how big your website is. You can build a huge website. You just have to buy the right hosting package.
Yeah, according to WordPress.com, they say your standard free WordPress.com account comes with 3 gigabytes of storage space.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And if you need more, you upgrade to one of the paid plans.
Or use 2 websites.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
One of the other things I just note, if anybody's interested in this kind of stuff, you're not limited to building a blog or a website on computer-related stuff. I mean, the sky's the limit. Just use your imagination. Lots of people use them for travel blogs, recipes, that kind of thing. I use it to share photographs with friends and relatives. I use a website for that. So whatever you're interested in, if it lends itself to sharing information with people, a blog or a website is quite a good way to do it.
I just did a search, and who knows how they know this, but I did a search on how many blogs exist in the world, and and this was from December 4th, 2020. At hostingtribunal.com, they said that there are more than 500 million blogs out of 1.5 billion websites in the world. So who knows how they came up with that number, but somebody appears to have done some sort of analysis and came up with that. Okay, any other questions, comments? We have some kudos in the chat window to being great presentation.
Thank you.
Yeah, somebody said, with that many blogs, I guess it would be years before Google finds you. And that was a question in the chat, was how do you have Google, how do you find a blog on a Google search? And quite frankly, if you don't have a lot of links to your blog, it's probably not going to get found by Google anytime soon. Eventually, it probably will get picked up by Google, and then it will show up if people search on terms that are found in your blog. But at the start of it all, if you just tell friends and family and whoever about your blog, and then if other people start linking to your blog, then it's more likely that you're going to show up on Google searches.
If you look for Linux Space North, there is a linuxnorth.org, somebody in Timmins, Ontario. But the next link is Red Star OS from Korea, North Korea.
But you do appear on Google, right, Alan?
Eventually, I should think.
Eventually.
Oh, yeah, if you miss out the space and just type Linux North, then I'm the second hit.
All right. You're famous.
Still got that guy in Timmins. We're going to do something about him.
Mike points out that search engine optimization, keywords, placement in key topic pages from others more popular than you, inbound links, also cross posts from social media that have traffic. All of those are likely to drive Google to be indexing your content. Comment that National Capital Freenet provides free hosting. There are a lot of actual free blogging options, blogger.com. There are other ones. WordPress is probably the one that commands most attention in the world. I've read stats saying that something like 35% of all websites in the world are WordPress websites. So it's certainly the most popular by far. Oh, and Jocelyn says you can actually submit your page to Google, and he's got the URL in the chat window. So yeah, if you've got a website or a blog, looks like you can tell Google you exist, and then maybe they'll start indexing it. Mark had a comment. Daughter is using WordPress for a website regarding whole food plant-based eating for health and wellness. She's not very computer literate regarding web page coding. She is Plant Fit Meg, if you want to check it out. Okay, we're on about 5 minutes till 9, so typically we start the Q&A session at 9 o'clock. So I would like to thank both Alan and Bridget for a great presentation. That was really helpful. I think a lot of people might be willing to dive into putting up a free website or blog. Lawrence posted in some stats on websites and who's hosting them or what technology is behind it all. And I think from that, I will break it off at this point. And by all means, check out the chat window if you haven't already for links and comments. And how about in 4 minutes, we will start the Q&A session. So let's take a short break, and we'll see you in 4 minutes.
I was certain.